I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Through our new citywide campaign, Fix the City, we will focus on the worst landlords in New York City. When necessary, we will take aggressive legal action to remove negligent owners and property managers. And for buildings that have suffered chronic neglect, we will work to transfer ownership to responsible stewards. Stewards that include community land trusts, nonprofits, or even the tenants themselves.
Oh, they are all excited about this possibility. But do you understand what New York City Mayor Mondami is proposing? Aside from making everybody happy, he's talking about we, the New York City mayoral office, and using our power, which they don't have to do, will seize private property. That's what it comes down to. Are there bad landlords in New York City? I had no doubt there are. And yeah, charges should be filed against them for every violation that endangers or threatens their residents. And some of these people would like to live somewhere else, but they can't afford it. And they're having to live with the conditions they've got because the landlord is not going to do anything to keep the rats out of the property and not doing anything about giving them heat during the winter. Maybe no water. I'm all for that. I'm all for going after them and using the laws and the statutes you have to basically make sure that things are changed and corrected. And there have been some cases where it's gone to as far as to condemn a building. It doesn't help the residents, you do understand. If you condemn it, then everybody has to get out, and they may not have another place to go. And you add to the homeless. Of course, we have no problem with providing housing for illegals. But Mondami says, if necessary, we will take ownership of their buildings from these bad landlords and then give them to stewards that would include community land trusts that we will set up. Nonprofits. Oh, yeah, nonprofit. The Democrats know how to make nonprofit very profitable on a regular basis. They said we might even turn the building over to the tenants themselves, as if they would have any knowledge of what it takes to run a large complex housing of any type. It's all pie in the sky. But it resonates with a crowd that thinks, oh, this is going to make things better. Just like letting 9, 12, 20 million illegals into our country has made us better. Such a sad case coming out the other day over the weekend of a man who's an illegal charged with killing 4 teenagers. He's driving on the highway the wrong way. Failed sobriety test. Police say he was clearly drunk. Got on at the wrong part, assuming he can read English, and started driving without any care in the world until suddenly he collides head-on with a car filled with 4 kids, ages 17, 18 at the tops. All 4 of them died. He survived. And again, we have families grieving because this guy should not have been in the country. Thank you, Joe Biden. Welcome to hour number 2, Larry Connors USA, reminding you we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, I appreciate you joining us and letting others know they don't want to miss the program. And we're streaming while we're on the air right now, video. You can watch the program. Right this moment, you can go to News Talk STL Rumble Larry Connors USA Rumble. And everything goes up as a podcast later at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can subscribe at LarryConnorsUSA.com, and we will deliver each program into your mailbox on a daily basis, so you don't have to search for it. It'll be given to you. We need minimum information just so we can email it to you, and we do not sell any of your information to anyone. I do want to take a moment to remind you, we started talking about this early this month, and look where we are, May 27. Well, it is next Tuesday, the event we've been telling you about in advance. Tuesday, June 2nd, 7 p.m., Lindenwood University. The Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University will hold a debate featuring the three top polling candidates in the St. Charles County executive race. All three will be there. News Talk STL's Jamie Allman will be a moderator. Panelists will include Mike Ferguson of News Talk STL Morning Show, and also Susie Moore, News Talk STL and Managing Editor of the Red State, and Dan Fox, Managing Editor of Mid-Rivers News Magazine. You do not need a ticket. Admission is free, and you can go there and watch in person. We will be carrying it live next Tuesday, and that will start at 7 o'clock. So next Tuesday, Larry Connors USA will air only 1 hour, and then we will switch you to the debate at Lindenwood University. So you can hear it on the radio, and if you can be there in person, great. If not, you can certainly listen to it right here, following our first hour only of News Talk STL. Later in this hour, you're going to hear from a mining CEO, and he says, right now we're having a problem and we're having a challenge because the DOJ in the Trump administration, mind you, is defending Obama and Biden EPA regs, which are wrecking the mining industry and constraining us when we need minerals that we can mine here, in particular copper. Why is that happening? And why is the Trump DOJ enforcing Biden Obama EPA regs? He'll give us his analysis coming up later in this hour. Now, big race everyone was watching over the weekend is, what is going to happen to John Cornyn? Well, John Cornyn got blown away. We all know that. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But there was another race that had some interest in Texas, and that would be Tallarico, and we'll get into that as well. Tallarico was running against Jasmine, beats her. But everybody says he's just like Jasmine. You just switch genders and colors if you want to look at it like that. You still have an ultra-left progressive. This is in Texas, a Texas district. All right, let's deal first again with Senator Cornyn. Trump had stepped forward and said, I'm going to endorse Paxton in this race to be a U.S. senator. And NBC News, their chief data analyst, Steve Kornacki, could not even attempt to withhold his enthusiasm and his excitement and his even shock over what happened.
Holy cow, we are off and running. Denton County, this is a big one, fast growing, just north of Dallas and Fort Worth here. You see 62% of the vote. What does that mean? This is the early vote that was cast here. Holy cow, that is a good number if you're Ken Paxton. A 25-point advantage for Paxton in Denton here. That's, I'll show you the other county because we want to give you all the results, but I'm going to go right back to Denton because it's much more significant. This is massively significant.
Massively significant. A major win. That again showing the Trump endorsement carries a lot of weight. Now, of course, this was a primary. They still got to go through the general election. But Senator John Cornyn had been in that position for a couple decades at least. And he's ousted. And you know why? Because he is one of the Republican senators who voted to impeach President Trump the first time. Of course, he'll do the best he can to cause mayhem and difficulties before he walks out the door when he is actually replaced next year. Now, the issue with the other race we're talking about, this is James Del Tallarico. He served since 2018 as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives in the Round Rock, Texas area where he was born, and he was running in a primary against Jasmine Crockett. So, one reporter was asking him, when you get right down to it, you missed 800 votes when you're supposed to be working in the state legislature, so a lot of the folks think you don't deserve to be promoted because you were missing votes you should have been attending.
I want to ask you about your record as a state legislator, because they have reviewed your legislative history and you've missed over 800 votes during your time in the state house. Why did you miss the votes, and why should voters allow you to represent their interests statewide when some are saying you did not represent your district?
And this is a Republican talking point, because I broke quorum twice with my Democratic colleagues to protest this redistricting power grab, to protest their voter suppression. And so I wasn't on the floor to take these votes because I was trying to stop them from passing these voter suppression efforts. Mm-hmm. And so they try to then take a look at all the votes that I missed, when in reality I was doing my job.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says those are Republican talking points, but it's factual. You missed 800 votes. You're just making up an excuse as to why you did, saying, oh, I was doing my job. Now, again, Tallarico beat out Jasmine Crockett in their race for the Senate. But a former Texas Congressman, Allred, was endorsed by Crockett and won a Tuesday runoff for a Dallas area House seat, besting a candidate supported by Tallarico. So Jasmine's saying, okay, you got me, but I got you back. The bottom line, even MSN now has to admit Tallarico is just like Jasmine.
But look, I think, Joe, the key thing here is that James Tallarico was cast and increasingly still is cast as a moderate. There is nothing. He's not a moderate. He and Jasmine Crockett have basically the same positions on almost every issue. He's a populist. He's a progressive. He's pretty far to the left on a lot of issues.
He's a leftist, just like she is. They didn't make any change for the better. And there's another issue. And even CNN made a point to raise this issue. Even if you were a Democrat, but you're a Christian. And yes, they do exist. It's not just Republicans who are Christians or even Jewish. There are Democrats. And they choose the candidate they think that will do better for them. But even CNN has to admit, Tallarico might have a problem even with getting those who would vote for him because of his attitude toward Christianity.
This is the race they're going to run against him. It's going to be total culture war race. They're going to use that sort of blunt a lane he thinks he has carved out around his Christian faith and his interpretation of Christianity. I think it's going to be effective. I guess one of his statements was something like, it's not clear if Jesus or God was a man or a woman, or he contains both masculinity and femininity. That's going to be a problem in Texas, and it's going to be a problem for a lot of Christian voters, whether you're Latino, Black, or white. They don't agree with that interpretation of the faith and of Christianity. And so I think, you know, he's a vulnerable candidate in Texas.
That's what he claims. But he's made remarks like, God is binary. No Christian's going to get into deciding God is a particular gender or binary or whatever else. God is God. So, yeah, he's going to lose a lot of that. But you know who he's courting now? He's going right after the Cornyn voters that were supporting Cornyn to stay in against Paxton. Well, as he says, you have a place in our campaign. There might well be some of the Cornyn voters that think, okay, Tallarico would be better than having Paxton. We'll have to see how that plays out. I've not seen any surveys on it right now to show one way or the other. Of course, we're just coming off the Memorial Day weekend. And you know, over this very weekend, we had numerous protests that were just outlandish. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mullen.
Well, it just shows where these, extreme radical Democrats' priorities are when they choose Memorial Day of all the days to go out and protest the fact that we took criminals off the streets. Their priorities lie more with protecting these criminals, which are the worst of the worst, than it is actually, I would say celebrating the sacrifice that men and women across this nation have paid for the freedoms that they have to go out there and practice their First Amendment rights. But why Memorial Day? Why would they choose Memorial Day? And that was my complaint, because I was talking to them all day yesterday Senator Andy Kim called me and said he wanted access to the facility because they were claimed that there was hunger strikes, but there is not hunger strikes going on. I said, Andy, give me a little bit. Let me get somebody in there for you. And we ended up allowing him to have access to it. We said, you can't go in there with your staff and film and cause a big show. And then you had the governor, Cheryl, jumped in. Then you had the other representatives and then Senator Cory Booker that was posting. And it's like it was all for show. And at the same time, they're trying to tell me they were trying to de-escalate the situation when you had Antifa flags flying out there. And at the same time,
Antifa flags on the very day that we're supposed to be honoring those who've given the ultimate sacrifice for this nation, for their right to be in the streets and protesting peacefully and making their voices heard peacefully. And yet they chose that day. They might as well have gone to each grave and spit on it or worse, because I think that's what they did. Coming up, the Trump DOJ is helping Biden EPA regs. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is the CEO of Pebble Mining Company, John Shively. John, glad to have you with us, sir.
Oh, nice to be here, Larry. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I wanted to get into what I see is happening and get your view on it, and I know you've been fighting against it. Trump just returned from meeting Premier Xi in Beijing, trying to push against China, holding a grip on all of our critical minerals. But the Department of Justice under the Trump administration right now is in court defending the Obama-Biden EPA veto that's blocking the largest copper deposit in our nation.
Yes. It was somewhat of a surprise to us, although in some ways dealing with this through the courts might be the best thing for us. We get a clean decision, so we'll see what happens. We have our final oral arguments end of June, then we'll get a judge's decision. And if we win, which we think we will because we believe EPA has way overreached their authority, then we will be able to go to the Trump administration, ask them not to appeal, and get back into permitting to see if we can get this mine going.
Well, that's one point that still kind of troubles me. Why can you not just directly go to the White House and talk to Trump and have the DOJ just pull this case? Why would Trump and the Trump administration allow the DOJ to pursue the case?
Well, I think for a couple reasons. One, in Trump 1, they did pull back the EPA's what was then a preliminary decision on a veto, and it got overturned in court. So I think they feel, and I'm not sure they're wrong, that being on the offensive side against or having us being on the offensive side rather than the environmentalists is a better thing. I don't know.
You've been a former Alaska Commissioner of Natural Resources. You've got 40-plus years in Alaska resource policy on every level. We're talking about Alaska, what has something like 57 billion pounds of copper in that state. Why is the copper going to be so vital to us? And I would say open it up for you, but how will it play in making America stronger?
Well, everything we do is basically connected to electricity. And if you got to have electricity, you're going to have copper. One national study that was done recently said that by 2030, worldwide will be 10 million tons short of copper because of things like AI, electric vehicles, green energy, and defense, which, you know, you build a big aircraft carrier, nuclear submarine, any of those things, they all take copper.
I don't want to get you outside your area of expertise, but I understand the same thing exists with, we have lithium in the Dakotas and around that region that we could certainly start mining and getting out, as opposed to relying on China for any lithium and other minerals, and yet we're not doing it.
Well, let me tell you what happens with China. So they right now control, I think, most of the lithium production in the world and a bunch of the rare earths. So because they control the whole supply chain from getting the concentrate to making metals to putting metals into computers, cars, refrigerators, they can afford to lose money sometimes. So in the past, particularly with rare earths and now somewhat with lithium, when the U.S. goes to produce, then China drops the price. So it's not economic for us.
Well, we already know how they cheat on emissions and so forth, clean air, and want everybody to sign on, as we were forced to do with the Biden-Obama era. You know, we had all these EPA regs controlling that, and China and India and others were some of the worst polluters in the world, and that didn't make any difference what we would do to stop emissions entirely in our nation. It would not change the world picture.
Right. You know, they actually have put, by volume, more green power on than any other nation in the world. However, we've put more green power on it as a percentage basis of what we produce. And, you know, China has been putting new coal plants on, and they just do it. You know, we try to do something, whether it's put a data center in, put a copper mine in, any of those things. We have a huge process that takes, well, for copper, for instance, average of 29 years from the time you find the copper to you find to produce it. In China, they just do it.
Yeah. And again, it's government regs that are in the way, the red tape. Is that correct?
Regs in the process, the fact that everything gets litigated, there's no cost for the environmentalists to litigate things and slow things down. All the costs fall on industry, and it's a problem. I mean, we haven't built a new copper processing plant in this country in probably 60 years. So that's why China now processes over 50% of the copper that's processed in the world.
Again, John Shively is CEO of Pebble Mining Company. He had been a former Alaska Commissioner of Natural Resources. You want to protect Alaska and its beauty, but the view of many is you just want to strip mine everything and destroy Alaska.
Well, that's just wrong. I mean, first of all, back in 1980, Alaska gave the biggest move for conservation in the history of the nation, when over 100 million acres of land was protected in parks and wildlife refuges and wilderness in the Carter administration. So, you know, we have to have some areas that can be developed if we're going to have an economy. And we're a natural resource state. We're not a manufacturing state. We're a natural resource state. So that's how we're going to survive.
Well, the oil and gas obviously are critical, but then I had an expert on recently talking about the other, and you were talking copper refining and facilities. We don't have enough oil and gas refineries, haven't had any of those built in decades because of the constant push for save the earth. Don't build any more. Don't drill any more. Don't do anything else. Just sit there and let yourself slowly, slowly dissolve.
And watch the lights get turned out.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think you're going to have a chance in this suit to get the DOJ off your back or not?
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty confident that we win because it was, and we have the state of Alaska suing on our side. And I think if we win, then we can go back to the Trump administration and say, look, you made your best shot, and they filed a very aggressive brief. You did your best shot. You lost. Now let's get back to trying to get this mine going.
Well, give me one more understanding. You specifically mentioned Trump, the Trump administration, and yes, the DOJ is under him. Why are they continuing to push it?
as I said, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we're a very controversial project. I don't think it's so true now, but in Trump 1, Don Jr. was opposed to us. We have some Republicans opposed to us.
On what grounds?
Just because of misinformation. I mean,
on what
people
grounds?
Have said we're going to destroy the fishery. We have environmental impact statements that we're not going to destroy the fishery. But you know how politics works.
Oh yeah, I do know that. But I think it's going to stress a lot of people to hear that the Trump DOJ is still moving forward on this when all it would take is for Trump to talk to the Attorney General and say, "What the hell are we doing here?"
Yeah, well, maybe someday.
Now, you also, we have an oral arguments in front of a federal court coming up this next month. Now, that could lift the veto, or you think it could also let Washington go forward to killing any major project going forward?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question.
There is, in June, you have a federal court hearing oral arguments that would lift the veto right now, the Obama-Biden EPA, and lift get you back in operation, or it could go the other way and let Washington have a kill switch to block any project anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. And if we lose, now there is legislation that was particularly pushed by Representative Stauber of Minnesota that would help fix the veto. Right now, the way the law is written, it says whenever the EPA feels like it, they can veto. So for us, they tried to veto before we got permitted. There was a mine in West Virginia in the Obama administration where they vetoed it 5 years after the permit was issued. So there are some things that can be done outside of just the Trump administration.
All right, we'll be watching to see what happens. John Shively, CEO of Pebble Mining Company in Alaska, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on.
You bet. I appreciate it. I do not understand what's happening with the DOJ when all it would take is say, just drop the case, walk away from it. Coming up, this is a Muslim high holiday. But you've got members still talking about being an illegal is not that bad in our country. Go ahead.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We start with your very own words, that you would like to abolish ICE. Now, what I would like to ask you is, ICE is simply the enforcement mechanism for democratically elected laws of the people. Now, for a party who has talked about the threat to democracy, is it your position that you do not want to see the will of the people, the democratically elected laws, enforced?
First of all, Will, you and I both know that immigration law is not criminal law. Immigration law is civil law. It's like getting a parking ticket.
No, it's
the idea that we should have a paramilitary force that is weaponized on our streets to enforce civil law seems to me to be a bit over the top, particularly considering the fact that the current president is weaponizing ICE against the idea of the rule of law itself.
That is Will Cain asking a Minnesota Democrat, Abdul Al-Sayed, about abolishing ICE, because he's comparing illegally entering our nation to nothing more than getting a parking ticket. That is stupid on face value. And certainly, I don't know of a parking ticket that has led to the murder or death of anyone. May have actually saved some lives, who knows? But they're so bought into this idea that illegals are perfectly good in this country for the Democrats. And again, as we pointed out earlier, over the Memorial Day weekend, they're outside a detention center shouting to free everyone inside, and they want to abolish ICE. They don't want to have a border. We have so many people wanting to come to this country, And when the Biden border was open, they came as often as many as they could. We still have a lottery system that we accept about 1 million-plus immigrants every year. We allow them to come in. But you have to have the border. And as I pointed out repeatedly, if you watch what happens in Europe, you get a prediction of what will happen here. If we are overrun by illegals who have no regard for our laws, not just violating the border, but then creating mayhem, chaos, and death. Now, I'm not going to tell you, and I don't believe that every illegal immigrant in this nation is a threat to anyone. They're here trying to make the best of what they can for themselves and their family. And they may want to actually assimilate, but they're still hiding in the shadows because they came across the border illegally. Even Obama and even Clinton, Bill Clinton had said, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. You know, the Obama-Clinton, I'm not sure how they would stand up in today's truly progressive party. Clinton is just off who knows where, and I could care less. And Obama, when he's not on his estate in Maryland, I should say, Martha's Vineyard. He shows up occasionally, probably collects some big speaking fee or whatever, and acts like he's still got weight to throw around, which he does not. The one who is carrying some weight and throwing it around is President Trump, especially when it comes to politics. Every candidate he has endorsed has won in their primary election. And the question is, will it end up being the same when it comes to the general election for each of those candidates? Keep in mind, every member of the House is up for re-election, and a third of the Senate. And of course, over the weekend, we had Texas Republicans choose Attorney General Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General Paxton, over the incumbent, Senator John Cornyn. 63% of the vote. Even at that point, the AP called it a decisive victory for Paxton. He will now face the Democrat state representative, James Tallarico, in November, the very one we were talking about earlier, that everyone says is just another Jasmine Crockett, different gender, different color, but has the same progressive attitudes, maybe even more so. I'm looking at a piece written in the USA Today, an opinion piece. So again, this is an opinion piece, not any kind of news, just someone's writing their thoughts on it. And I lost the author's name, but it's appearing in USA Today. And says, folks outside Texas might view Paxton as a mini Trump because they are so politically aligned. But compared with Trump, Paxton comes across less like a movement leader and more like a politician addicted to grievance and controversy. Pointing out that Paxton was indicted and impeached by the Texas House, though later acquitted by the Texas Senate. He has admitted cheating on his wife in the past. And they're saying that it's difficult to imagine Paxton heading to Washington to focus on what is in the best interest of Texans. And he does point out in his opinion piece, these are two candidates, Paxton and Tallarico, representing different strains of modern American politics. Pointing out, as we stated earlier, Tallarico is a progressive wrapped in moderate language, a seminarian turned politician, supposedly appealing to religious Texans, but also including comments like God is non-binary. The opinion writer says, I don't know yet about Tallarico's character, but his politics reflect a familiar Democrat pattern. Progressive ideas packaged as moderation, like former President Barack Obama, who did show up to campaign for Tallarico recently. So you're going to have a show-off between an Obama-endorsed candidate against a Trump-endorsed candidate. In the meantime, the nonpartisan election handicapper group, Cook Politico, shifted its rating of the Texas Senate race toward Republicans just yesterday, from likely Republican to leaning Republican, after Paxton defeated Cornyn. The editor for the Cook Report stated, Paxton has a litany of ethical lapses for Democrats to exploit, from allegations of bribery, misuse of his office, to marital infidelity, which led his wife to divorce him on biblical grounds. And given the national environment, this is a race that certainly may have become more competitive even if Cornyn had won. But Paxton's flaws warrant an immediate move to the lean column. The Cook political editor also noted that Texas State Representative Tallarico holds a fundraising edge over Paxton that Republicans are going to need to overcome. And adding that the 2020 margin may be a better indicator given Trump's sinking approval ratings, particularly with Latino voters who swung hard for Trump in 2024. but many undecided voters, even if they dislike Paxton, may feel uncomfortable about handing over the keys to the Senate to Democrats, who have not won a Senate seat in the Lone Star State since 1988. Is Paxton flawed? Yes. Was Cornyn a hindrance to things that we need to have done? Yes. I'll take Paxton over Cornyn for what Cornyn has failed to do. And he, again, I'll remind you, he is one of those voting to impeach Trump over the false, may I state that again? Are you listening? The false allegations that Trump was involved with Russia in colluding to win the election. All of that's been debunked. You're not going to hear that on the legacy media. What we do have is controversy starting up again over the Justice Department's anti-weaponization fund. $1.7 billion fund established in May as part of a settlement to resolve President Donald Trump's $10 billion civil lawsuit against the IRS over leaking his tax returns. This anti-weaponization fund is designed to compensate anyone who claims they suffered lawfare and government overreach during the Biden administration. If you think you were targeted by the Biden administration, the Biden IRS, the Biden DOJ, because you happen to be a MAGA supporter, or even an independent that did not stand firmly with the far left loonies, this is money to help you fight that battle. Of course, you have critics and watchdog groups labeling the fund as simply a political slush fund, noting that unspent money can be arbitrarily transferred by the president at the end of his term. But Alabama Senator Tuberville says, I still have my people in my state saying, we need help. Why can we not have help to get our own tax money to work for us?
Each case would be handled individually. Again, people are not going to be just handed money out. It's going to be done the right way. You got to remember, and I've had people in my office that have absolutely gone bankrupt. They've lost their businesses. Some lost their families. Some absolutely have gone off the deep end. They need to be helped. And if we can't help the American people with their own tax money, what kind of country are we? It makes no sense whatsoever that we do not stand up for the American people when we have the opportunity to do that. And that's what we're up there for. You know, we fund Ukraine, we fund Europe, we fund NATO, we do all this stuff. But when it comes to American people, not one time in 6 years, other than the big, beautiful bill, have we done one damn thing to help the American people. President Trump is exactly right. Let's help these people. Let's get them back on their feet and tell the Democrats to shut the hell up, because they almost run this country in the ground by spending $7 trillion that we should have never even touched. And, you know, it's just a sad day that we have to go through something like this.
And then we're not even talking about the fraud created by the Democrats. The fund works in this way. Eligible individuals who the DOJ determines were unfairly targeted can receive formal apologies and financial compensation. This operates only for a limited time. They will stop processing claims December 1, 2028. Any unused money would be transferred to other government accounts before January 1, 2029. Now, while the fund was created, as many say, it's got Trump allies in mind, the official DOJ summary states there are no partisan restrictions. If you're a Democrat and you think you've been a victim of warfare, lawfare, by the Biden government, Obama government, you can file and get some help. You lose your business because of COVID-era shutdowns, I'd say step up to the plate, file your claim. You want to fight? You want a real fight? How about a UFC fight planned for the White House? Here's an update.
I'm a fan of the intensity of the celebration.
Locals and visitors getting a first physical look ahead of UFC Freedom 250 after renderings were released this weekend showing plans for a temporary arena on the South Lawn. Crews now assembling major steel structures to surround the fighters. No football, no baseball, no soccer. Apparently, just guys fighting each other.
Yeah, same as the politics right now.
Flag Day, June 14th, is the target date for the event, which also happens to be President Trump's 80th birthday. National Park Service records show event setup and teardown stretches from May 20th through late June, underscoring the size of the transformation. The Washington Post reports roughly 4,000 spectators are expected near the secured South Lawn viewing area. More people expected to gather in separate viewing areas.
I think it's pretty cool, though. The public loves that.
I think it's pretty cool. They're going to have a UFC fight, a cage match, on the South Lawn of the White House. And yeah, it coincides with Trump's birthday, and so that's why the Democrats and others are crying, something's wrong here, something's wrong here. And they keep talking about his ballroom. His ballroom, it's not going to be his ballroom. Of course, the intent is to have it completed before he does leave office, but it will be there for all future presidents, regardless of party, and it'll provide a secure facility to host major events as opposed to going to Washington area hotels and having to supplement security. This would be for all presidents, but you don't hear the left admitting that. No, this is Trump's ballroom. It's all for him and his glory. Some people you just can't teach, can you? They're never going to get it in their head. And their philosophy is, as I've often referred to it, as the blinker switch philosophy. Your turn blinker is on, it's off, it's on, it's off. And that's the way they are in their beliefs and attitudes. And whoever speaks to them last has a good chance of winning them over. That's why we are here for you. Join us again tomorrow, will you? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.